2011 saw Wisconsin Republicans front and center on the national stage. Scott Walker was in the first year of his governorship and had emerged as a national standard bearer for supporters looking to rein in the power of unions. Paul Ryan was gaining stature in Congress as the new chairman of the House Budget Committee. And state party leader Reince Priebus took the reins as chairman of the Republican National Committee.
They were laying the groundwork for a traditional conservative candidate who could emerge as the party's 2016 presidential nominee, with Wisconsin's profile rising all along the way. But then came Donald Trump. Trump and Ryan, for example, have clashed on numerous issues. Here's what each had to say in the wake of the San Bernardino terrorist attacks back in December.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
What was proposed yesterday is not what this party stands for. And more importantly, it's not what this country stands for. Some of our best and biggest allies in this struggle and fight against radical Islamic terror are Muslims.
Tim Dale is with us now for a look at the conflict between Donald Trump and the Republican so-called cheesehead revolution. He is chair of the Department of Political Science at UW-La Crosse. Tim, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, going back to 2011 and the beginnings of what both Governor Walker and Speaker Ryan referred to as the Cheesehead Revolution, what were the goals?
Well, so Wisconsin Republicans saw a lot of success with the goals of kind of mainstream Republican Party to decrease the size of government, decrease taxes, pretty classic Republican positions. And with the success of particularly Paul Ryan on the national stage, but also Priebus taking over the party, it really looked like the party was looking to expand in ways that were planned by what Wisconsin represented, which is a northern Midwestern state that typically elects presidents, but also can and has elected Republican governors from two different sides of the aisle. So Democratic presidential candidates have won in Wisconsin historically, but Republicans have had success both in Congress and congressional districts and the governor's mansion. The question really is about how a state like Wisconsin could be captured at the national level, and that's what that Wisconsin Revolution was aiming for.
And how would you say that agenda was advancing at the time? How was it looking?
It looked very good, particularly with Paul Ryan being on the presidential ticket. And I think a lot of people would have been happy to see Ryan run for president this time. But instead, we saw Scott Walker, who for a period of time was the favorite of a lot of people. In fact, I think he may have even been the odds-on favorite to get the nomination for a while. So it was looking like it was going to be successful.
And so what happened? That agenda right now, those goals you just discussed, obviously in jeopardy with the candidacy of Donald Trump. Break it down for us. What do you think would happen there?
Well, it definitely was that Donald Trump happened. Priebus taking over the Republican Party was about trying to set a Republican Party agenda, both in terms of policy but also electorally, to make it more competitive in presidential races. And so in 2013, Priebus put together this project that was aimed at expanding the Republican Party base. How would the party appeal to minority voters, for example? How would it broaden its base of support in more diverse states? And Priebus was really given this kind of mantle of how do we build the party. And what Trump has done is actually moved the party in a different direction, where he's bringing in different voters who may not have been Republicans or identified with Republicans, but it's been essentially at the expense of some of the changes that Priebus wanted to see. Now, currently, when Priebus is asked about this, he says, well, we're excited to get new voters, and as the party chair, he has to have that answer. But it has moved the party in a different direction.
Can the Republican Party contain both, or are they contradictory and they can't exist side by side?
Well, because of the way we have elections in the United States and our two-party system, the parties have to be big tent parties. They have to be parties that contain within them diverse sets of constituents. And so it's possible because we have the parties that have to contain within it. But the problem is that in any one election cycle, you may have differences that become so extreme that it really alienates parts of the support. So this is what we're seeing right now on the Republican side, where important constituents on both sides are essentially promising not to support the nominee if it's not their person. That's never good for a party, although I should say that there are a lot of elections where we see that happen and then not actually come to fruition for the general election. So at least for that, it remains to be seen if the party can come together.
We're talking with Tim Dale right now, chair of the Department of Political Science at UW-La Crosse, talking about the split between the goals of Wisconsin leaders in the Republican Party and presidential frontrunner Donald Trump. And now earlier we heard a clip there of Donald Trump and Paul Ryan disagreeing about how to deal with threats of terrorism, but their differences don't end there. Here they are on Social Security and global trade.
Social Security. A cornerstone of financial security for millions of retirees, widows, and disabled Americans is going bankrupt.
All these other people want to cut the hell out of it. I'm not going to cut it at all. I'm going to bring money in, and we're going to save it. We lose a fortune on trade. The United States loses with everybody. We're losing now over $500 billion in terms of imbalance with China.
If we want to create good jobs, we need to make more things in America and sell them overseas.
And a clip there, Paul Ryan and Donald Trump disagreeing about a variety of things. Is there a middle ground for the two of these and the party in general to meet and have a consensus and a unified platform going forward?
Well, this is the problem that some Republicans have with Donald Trump is that for a while now, the Republican Party has been the party of free trade, and it's also been the party of entitlement reform, and Donald Trump is messing up that agenda. And the problem is when a party has essentially an agenda that has been being built for several decades, and then the presidential candidate is not willing to stand for that agenda, the party agenda essentially shifts to conform to what the nominee believes. And so I think that there might be some middle ground. You may see some arguments coming out of the Trump campaign in a general election, for example, that might soften some of those things. But it actually looks right now like Trump would be unwilling to soften some of those positions. But that's also going to be a problem for a general election because of donations. There are a lot of big Republican donors that have fairly strong opinions about those things, and actually opinions that fall much closer to the Paul Ryan side of those debates than the Donald Trump side.
Looking back through the years via the lens of history, have we ever seen a schism like this within a party?
It has happened, and actually we've seen a lot more party fights than we've seen not party fights. And I think that the big schism that we see here that hasn't been in recent memory is the significant difference on so many policy issues. And what Trump has been able to capture is some alienation that at least the Trump supporters have felt in terms of not having their arguments or voices heard at the national level. So, for example, when you have both Democrat and Republican candidates for president advocating for free trade, there isn't space for some of the opinions that voters have. And so I think that parties have realignments all the time. Parties have positions that change given what voters demand. And I think right now we're seeing just a really pronounced example of that, and one that we may see have a significant effect on a fragmentation of the party, at least at the national level, for this election cycle.
Is this a massive realignment, though, or do you think it has the potential to be something even bigger?
It'll be interesting to see. I think part of that it was the reason why we're so interested to see how the next few months play out, and particularly the Republican convention. If the convention proceeds the way that the Republican chair Priebus would like it to proceed, there will be a presumptive nominee going into the convention, or at least a round of balloting that does not take the nomination away from the person who has the plurality of delegates. And then I think you would see emerging from that convention kind of a consensus choice. Even if it's Trump, there may be people who aren't happy about supporting him, but that are willing to do it. I think that the catastrophic scenario for the Republican Party is that convention is not only contentious, but it ends up completely factionalized, and so you might see another conservative party emerging from that tries to run against Trump. I think that's where you see something even bigger than just a realignment or just a Republican Party that starts paying more attention to trade or more attention to immigration.
Well, in the event that there is a candidate who's got that plurality that you were talking about going into the convention, where does that leave this cheesehead revolution that we've been talking about, this other strand of conservatism that was pretty different from what Donald Trump has proposed.
Well, I think that there's still a place for it. The Speaker of the House is probably the second most powerful person in the country after the president. And I think you have Walker, who still has quite a bit of credibility nationally and is continuing to build that. And Priebus is the chair of the Republican Party, regardless of what party voters are saying right now in terms of their support of the project that he put together in 2013. So I think that the Wisconsin people who have gained prominence in the Republican Party aren't going away. And I think it's a really good way of thinking about the dynamics of the party right now, where you have people who don't necessarily agree with everything that Trump is saying, and how are those people who are essentially in charge of the party at the national level going to hold the party together with a candidate that doesn't agree with everything the party stood for?
Tim Dale is with us right now from UW-La Crosse, and we're talking about the split between the goals of Wisconsin leaders in the Republican Party, like Paul Ryan, like Scott Walker, and presidential frontrunner Donald Trump.
And we want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. Do you think that Donald Trump is ultimately helping or hurting the Republican Party? Does his platform, do his views resonate with you, or do you feel more in line with the vision set out by Scott Walker, Paul Ryan, and Reince Priebus as part of what some have called the cheesehead revolution? If you're watching this from the inside of the Republican Party, what are your hopes and fears? If you're watching it from the outside, what do you think? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we pick up our conversation now with political scientist Tim Dale from UW-La Crosse. And we're taking a look at whether the cheesehead revolution of Paul Ryan, Scott Walker, and party chairman Reince Priebus has been derailed by Donald Trump.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Will the Republican Party emerge weaker or stronger because of these different approaches, different ideas? Do you feel that the party needs to be true to what have been its mainstream conservative positions? Or is it time for someone like Trump to shake stuff up? Call 800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Tim, I want to get to the callers because there's a lot of them. But first, you know, Donald Trump today campaigning in Paul Ryan's hometown of Janesville. Does that stop? Is that a logical one on the campaign trail, or is this kind of an elbow in the ribs to Paul Ryan?
Well, the way that the Trump campaign is explaining it is a logical stop, and it is a logical stop in the sense that Trump is going to be visiting areas that tend to vote conservative and have a lot of conservative voters, and so Paul Ryan's backyard is a place to go. Although, because there have been several pronounced disagreements between the two of them on some things, there is some interpretation that this visit in particular is the Trump saying that I am going to go to Wisconsin, I am going to go right to where these the cheesehead revolution happened, and I'm going to show you that I can win there too. So I think that Trump understands how significant it is to do well in Wisconsin, just as the people who are coming from Wisconsin and are national party figures understands that the Wisconsin primary next Tuesday is really significant.
We'll take our first caller now. We've got Judy on the line in Appleton. Judy, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. What did you want to share?
I am voting for Trump. I'm hoping that he shakes things up. I'm switching over from the Democratic Party and going for the Republican votes this year because of Trump being in there. I think that would be great if he would shake things up.
And Judy, you're saying what Donald Trump has said he could do, that he could bring voters in from the Democratic side of things. I appreciate you calling and sharing that with us, Judy. And Tim, what do you make of that? This is what Donald Trump has been saying. His appeal was broad enough to achieve, and Judy is evidence, at least one person evidence of that.
Right, and just as he's been getting some Republicans upset at his candidacy, he has been making arguments, particularly for some segments of the Democratic voting population that is appealing to them. I mean, I think it's telling that Reid Ribble, the congressional representative from northeastern Wisconsin, is actually one of the high-profile Republicans who said that he will never vote for Trump in an election, and that's where your caller is from. So, I mean, it really shows how pronounced this divide is, where you have Trump gaining Democratic voters but then alienating some Republicans. It really is a fascinating development on the Republican side.
Well, Judy, appreciate that call. And next we're going to go to Tom in Eau Claire. Tom, hi.
Yes, hello.
Hi, what did you want to share?
Okay, fantastic. Well, Trump is definitely hurting the Republican Party. There's no question about it. But, you know, the Republican Party has been bought by special interests, has been controlled by big business, and he's exposing politics in general for what they are, including the Republican Party. He's been playing it safe and somewhat treading lightly, but I think the time will come where he's going to really expose things much more than he already has exposed them. So, yeah, he's hurting the Republican Party, but they need a correction. Just like the stock market does a correction, the Republican Party and politics in general needs a correction. And I think he's doing a good job of exposing all the corrupt influences that are affecting politics in general.
Tom, appreciate that. Interesting stuff there, Tom. So, Tom saying that Donald Trump is just the strong corrective that the GOP needs. He's exposing some of the fault lines that Tom sees as needing correction. Do you think that's something that some Republicans are thinking?
I think so, and particularly in the sense that there are angry voters out there, and it doesn't mean that it's a majority of voters, but it certainly is a majority of Americans who disapprove of Congress, for example. And so there are voters who are angry maybe at both parties. So when we see Democrats crossing over to vote for Trump, you may see kind of the same phenomenon. And so I think tapping into the anger and dissatisfaction among voters is something that Trump is doing well. I think that's the big question for his campaign is can that anger be captured in a way that's productive in a general election, or does it become a campaign that is only about anger? And at least historically, those campaigns tend not to do well in general elections, but we've been surprised at several things that have been happening that are unprecedented. So this will be something that we'll be watching.
What are you thinking about how Donald Trump, if he's not successful, will change the GOP, the establishment GOP, the Paul Ryan strand of it, the Scott Walker strand of the GOP? Because there is this maybe unidentified portion of the electorate now that we're aware of now. We know they're passionate. So how does that get incorporated if Donald Trump is not the nominee?
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent and interesting question. I think particularly on issues like trade and entitlements, I think that you may end up seeing a Republican Party that over time, maybe even in the near future, changes its stances on some things. That is, if Trump is activating a portion of the electorate that hasn't been activated, particularly for voting for Republicans in a long time, then it's the Republican Party that might be saying, we need to revisit some of these positions. And that may be a way that Trump is going to affect the party if he's not the nominee.
Appreciate your call, Tom. And we're going to go next to Jim in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
Hi. I'm just saying that the establishment Republican Party is getting what it created. In 2009, the Heritage Foundation, the Koch brothers, and the Republican establishment helped create and literally transport the Tea Party to create right-wing civil disobedience against the Affordable Care Act. And Romney and McCain were not their cup of tea. And now, literally, I believe that the dog has come off its leash, and the Republican establishment is responsible for what has happened. I'd be interested in your guest response.
Jim, thanks for that. And that's a narrative that you're hearing often from Democrats, but from others, too. Tim, what do you make of that?
Well, what's interesting about the cheesehead revolution we were talking about before is that running as an insurgent candidate is something that is rhetorically powerful. But the problem with gaining power is, that, ironically, that now you're in power. Now you're the establishment. And so someone like Ted Cruz, for example, who certainly wouldn't have been called the Republican establishment even 6 months ago, it now seems to be one of the remaining establishment choices, even though Cruz is essentially made arguments on the floor of the Senate that has called out the Republican leadership. And so I think this is where you have the phenomenon of Trump really going against this idea that there can be such a thing as an anti-establishment candidate. Is it possible to be in power politically and make effective arguments against political power? And so I think that's where Trump has captured the imagination of anti-government voters who even anti-government candidates who are in government aren't persuading them that they should support them.
Jim, thank you so much for the call as we talk to Tim Dale right now from UW-La Crosse talking about Donald Trump and what he represents in contrast with the so-called cheesehead revolution, people like Scott Walker and Paul Ryan here in Wisconsin. And Tim in Green Bay, hi, what did you want to share with us?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I will say that I think that Donald Trump is a breath of fresh air in this
in this election cycle. And I'll preface it by saying that I think Bernie Sanders is also. And just by saying that each of them is not, they're not standing on the politically correct. They're not standing on the establishment, Republican or Democratic side. And I think that many people are just tired of all the different things that are going on that make it where nothing gets done.
Tim, thank you for that call. Tim, referencing the gridlock that we've seen in Washington in recent years. And what do you say to that? I mean, is there a parallel between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders that represents something broader going on?
Well, this is something that political scientists are going to be studying for a long time. This is a historic election. And I think the caller points out something interesting. We actually find among Trump voters that they're just as likely to say their second choice for president is Bernie Sanders. And I think that shows just how much the anger at the mainstream party's positions on something like free trade actually shows Bernie Sanders to be closer to Donald Trump on some issues than Cruz or Clinton or Kasich. I think that's where you're seeing the electorate going right now, is voting for anti-government candidates or anti-establishment candidates.
And Tim, as we wrap up, how important do you think Wisconsin is in the primary coming up on April 5th? And what do you think the message will be when Wisconsin hands a victory to either Donald Trump or Ted Cruz?
Well, Wisconsin is very important, and particularly on the Republican side. If Wisconsin hands the election to Trump, if Trump wins a majority, it's Trump going into the backyard of major party figures and saying, I can win there. If Cruz wins, it signals a turn in the race where Cruz might be showing I can win in other places in the country, and it becomes a real competitive election going into the convention. And because Wisconsin's the only primary on that day, the whole country is going to be watching.
Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Tim Dale, chair of the Department of Political Science at UW-La Crosse. He joined us to talk about the battle between Donald Trump and Wisconsin Republican icons for control of the GOP.